Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Darling, oh, when we get married, we'll have a big celebration and send invitations.
Were you planning on getting married last year? Well, for many, the pandemic put up a big block on your way to the altar. And for others who were already married, being shut down and shut in for a year was a marriage test. A lot of couples failed. Divorce attorneys reporting a booming business during January, the biggest month of the year for filing. Well, next week is the second annual celebration of Black Marriage Week. But are we celebrating? Are Black couples still wanting to get hitched? Well, joining me to talk about this, our licensed professional counselor and therapist with Relationship Boosters, Dr. Kia James, and Carrie Pope, author, spiritual life coach, marriage counselor, and co-host of the YouTube series Life with the Popes. What do you think? Singles, married folks, give us a call. I want to hear from you tonight about Black marriage. Is it still a thing? Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. James, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
And Carrie, first time on the program. Thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate it.
Harold, it's indeed a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So let me start off with a working definition, Dr. James, for Black marriage. How would you describe it differently from other marriages?
I would say it is a union filled with, of course, love and joy, and also some of the dynamics, maybe like past slavery and things like have flavored some of the dynamics in the current situation as far as marriages as well.
You know, culture, obviously a big part of that, but is it still a thing? What impact do you think the pandemic has had on Black marriage for those who have been in it, those who are trying to get into it? What have you been hearing?
Well, I've been hearing a whole lot. Some couples have really benefited from the pandemic, and, you know, so to speak, because they're able to spend more time with each other. They have been neglecting each other, not paying attention to one another, preoccupied with work, kids, and all these other kind of things. And so they've taken that time to kind of reconnect and really just enjoy each other's company. And other people, of course, have had the opposite, you know. They've been spending more time with each other. They didn't really know each other. And so now all their little quirks have been coming up. They don't know how to talk about it, and it ends in arguments and, you know, people not wanting to be in their home, which is kind of bad, especially considering we've been locked in here for a year now.
Carrie, what image do you think, or what role do you think social media has played, for good or for bad, in the discussion about Black marriage in 2020, 2021?
I believe, Harold, that social media has been, in a sense, to marriage almost like a devil, so to say, because of the image that people portray. I've counseled many people who portray great images on social media only to do it for likes, when the reality is they're barely getting along half the time. One is out of the house. So there's always this image to portray themselves to be more than what it is. So social media has really, especially with the pandemic being more inward, it's really exposed the problems within the home, and especially through social media.
What do you mean by that?
We have to turn to.
What do you mean by that, exposing problems that are within the home?
Prime example, when I've counseled a lot of people in the past, especially with men, you know, if you looked at the early part of marriage, most time men provided the financial stability in the home. You fast forward 40 years from 1960 to 50 years to 2020, you're looking at now women being more, in some cases, the breadwinner. So now in the home, when the pandemic came along, if those men begin to face layoffs through the pandemic. Yeah, women are more able to they're more likely to post on Facebook or social media, whereas a man is kind of posting his muscles flexing. Well, there's nothing to flex anymore, and the money's not there.
Mm.
So he's kind of back in the background watching her shine, and when she's shining, here comes attention. And you know, for a man, if he's not financially stable and she is, and he's struggling, that extra shine can cause more problems within the home.
But Dr. James, let's talk a little bit about that. Certainly men are made up of more than just the money that they make as relates to how they participate in the marital union.
Well, of course that is true, but I do think the money does, you know, as far as like the manhood and all of that, it plays a role how much money you make. And, you know, there are a lot of black women, especially in this region, that do make more money than their men. However, with that being said, just having money is not going to save anybody's relationship. There has to be a lot more to it. And I find that men that do understand that they need to be supportive and there for their wives, they need to, you know, make sure that their wife knows that they actually love and care for them, and pay attention to the fact that they do have emotions and not stomp all over their emotions or call them too sensitive or whatever else. I found that a lot of the men that are able to understand that component and make sure they're not disrespecting their wife, they've had a lot more success with their relationship.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about black marriage. Next week is Black Marriage Week. Is it still a thing, you know, particularly for those people who are thinking about doing it, considering it, knocking it around the whole bit? And even if you are in it, you know, how would you describe black marriage today? Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James, calling from Upper Marlboro. Hey, James, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, yeah, so black marriage still exists, and it's out there, and you can make it. I've been married nearly 38 years in August. In fact, I met my wife at Howard University. We're both...
Well, that explains it.
Howard.
That explains it.
And, it's a struggle. I'm not saying it's the easiest thing in the world, but you got to talk, and you got to know, not try to win every fight, because you can win the fight and lose the battle.
Mm.
You got to definitely compromise, and you got to keep God in the middle.
Let me ask you real quick, James. Okay, you've done it for 38 years. What is the one piece of advice that you would give the guys to keep their marriage strong, or the guys who are considering it? What would you tell them?
Listen to your wife. Value her opinion. We all have different thoughts of how we come to conclusions. Men might be logical. Your wife might be a bit more emotional, but you still have to listen to every point of view and then make the best decision for your family.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always try to win. You got to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make your wife feel valued in the process and let her know that she's part of it just as well as you are.
I like that. Is she listening, James?
Actually, my wife's in bed sleep, and she just finished her MBA degree, so she's taking it easy now.
Well, there you go. Look, you can play it back online later on. She'll love you for it, James. Thank you so much. I appreciate
You're
your
welcome.
Phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about black marriage. Is it still a thing? Of course, Black Marriage Week, the second annual celebration next week. So what do you say, Carrie, to men? Let me put it this way. When you, again, to the social media piece, and certainly, you know, I'm very active on social media piece. It's part of the job. And yet when it comes to discussions about relationships, marriage, and the like, the people with the biggest megaphones and the ones who are talking about it the most are women.
Mm-hmm.
Men are mostly silent. Why is that?
You know, I've found out in some of the videos that I've done on social media, the men are hurting. The men are angry. There's a lot of men that are angry that women are in the forefront. And I have shared with them, you know, I place with my wife, Rebecca, who is very strong in social media. But what makes us work so well is we complete each other. And so men have to be secure in who they are with their spouse or their significant other, because social media is just that, it's an outlet to reach further and reach more people. But the reality is, as long as you be authentic and you're sure of who you're with and you have open communication, then there's not really a big issue. It's when you get on social media and become more than what you are and you put your business out there that exposes, because a lot of men are private. Mm-hmm. And so there has to be this understanding of what this vehicle is for and how to use it properly, or it can cause damage on the relationship.
But is it also just a reflection of just how men are socialized anyway? Because, you know, a lot of the guys that I am familiar with, until they decide that they're going to do it, it's just not something that they talk about. Is it that men are socialized differently when it comes to thinking about marriage as opposed to women?
I think with men, when it comes to marriage, we have to get back to what the standards of marriage is all about. And because it has changed so much in this era where, again, gender roles have changed. You know, if you think about marriage, we think about our grandparents and the granddaddy is out working, grandmother's taking care of the home. Well, that's not how it works today. I mean, both are out, you know, we're making a living. And in some cases with the pandemic, if both of them are home, then the husband can't expect the wife to do all the home duties in the house, and he's there as well. So sometimes gender roles are thrown out the window, traditional gender roles. You know, in our home, I have no problem with washing clothes. I have no problem with cleaning. I have no problem with cooking, because we're a unit. And I think that's what's the problem, Harold. Men forget to remember that we are a unit. It's not she and I. It's we're one. Mm-hmm. And so if she's handling this part of this business, then I got to pull the other part of this business. Because together we're one unit. Collectively, we're one. And I think that's what's missing today. We have this two roles of each other's caring versus understand that at the end of the day, we're the popes. We're not Carrie and Rebecca. We're the popes, and that's important.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about black marriage. Is it still a thing? Let's go to Lori. Lori calling from Waldorf. Lori, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was going back to what he just said. If they can just remember that the relationship, what it took to get in it, they got to do the same thing it took to keep it. It's just like turning the burner on the stove. You know, you get on it and you start cooking. You know, it's repetitious, you know, that they forget that. Just because if we do make more money, or even if they making the more money, it doesn't matter. The money is not the most important thing. It's the relationship. Black men need more counseling. That's what I think. Because the role models are not there for them to keep the relationship going and the marriage.
Okay. Lori, thank you so much. I want to talk a little bit about Black Marriage Week coming up next week, the second annual celebration. Dr. James, kind of give me the genesis of this, and you've got something, you know, coming up next week. Give me a brief rundown.
Well, Black Marriage Week is all about empowering Black couples and Black singles to know that love exists and to get strategies and skills to be able to have the best relationships possible. So it's all about, you know, building the communication so you can speak your truths without having huge blow-ups and arguments, being able to be more intimate and feel connected, and avoiding disconnection and also getting into that relationship autopilot where we don't want to. So it's all about building skills and then also speaking specifically about things that are impacting the Black community, because that's important, of how it impacts Black love and Black relationships and what we can do to make sure that the community continues to thrive and our relationships are thriving as well.
You've got a virtual event coming up next week. Briefly tell me about that and where you can get some more information about that as well.
Yes, I forgot to mention, you can get tickets at blackmarriageweek.com. It's the 26th through the 28th. It's all online, so you can chime in from home. And we have tons of speakers coming to talk about all types of things related to sex and intimacy. So make sure you click on or go to blackmarriageweek.com and get more information.
I was looking at the website. You've got a guy in a tuxedo carrying the wife off. I thought that was pretty funny. she's happy, so he's not pulling her by her hair. So I think that's certainly a good thing. Oh my goodness, we have a lot more to talk about. Charles in Maryland, D in Columbia. Please do not hang up. Stay on the line. We're going to be talking to you. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are going to take a quick break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.
But you stayed right in my heart. Yeah, and so many times. Picture this day.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about the state of black marriage. Next week is the second celebration of Black Marriage Week. My guests are licensed professional counselor and therapist with Relationship Boosters, Dr. Kia James, and Carrie Pope, author, spiritual life coach, marriage counselor, and co-host of the YouTube series Life with the Popes. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting in, please keep trying. I promise I will take your phone call. Charles, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm calling because I don't feel it has anything to do with anything that has to do with COVID or anything, whatever you're doing with a relationship. It depends on the person and how that person is. If you have that strong relationship, then it's going to be strong.
Mm.
It doesn't have to do with anything that you're going through. If you have a strong relationship, you have a strong bond, then that's the bottom line. That's going to be it. You're going to go through the storms. You're going to weather it all, and you're still going to be as one.
Okay.
And that's honestly how I feel.
Are you married, Charles?
No, sir. I'm honestly not. I'm 27. I'm honestly a younger listener for you guys, but that's honestly how I feel.
Well, you know, we need some of that youthful energy. So keep hope alive, Charles. Keep hope alive. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. D, calling from Columbia, Maryland. D, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. I had a couple of comments about some of the prior comments.
Mm-hmm.
One is around the fact that there was a statement that women, well, at least my reaction to something you said about women are more verbal, I think, about defining a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think men leave that up to women. For whatever reason, you will hear women typically more verbal about defining the relationship, whether it's monogamous, whether it's a marriage, whether it's just a partnership. So, and I think that the other comment I had to make, because I think your question was, what does it take in a relationship? I am not married presently, but I have been married. I think that communication, and that was what he pretty much said, you have to talk to each other. I think that communication is really important no matter what the relationship, whether it's marriage, whether it's dating, whether it's monogamous or not. I think that communication, as long as you can talk to one another. And I think, though, the important part of saying communication is, and men listen up, I think the important part of communicating is to do that before and not after. If there's a problem going on, don't wait until that problem escalates. Talk about that problem before it escalates, or that issue before it escalates. And I find that often in the relationships I've been in can be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll talk about certain things, but not until it's probably later than when it should have been.
Okay. Well, Dee, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about a black marriage. Is it still a thing? Is it still celebrated? So here's the question that I hear a lot of women ask, and I'll throw this out to you, Carrie. A lot of women always want to know, how does a man know when he's ready to get married?
Oh, wow. That is the million-dollar question. I'll put it like this, Errol. This is what I've experienced myself, and I have in counseling others. I remember my aunt telling me years ago when I was young, she says, a man is not a man until he's 40. And I looked at her really strange as to what does that mean. And she says, by the time a man reaches the age of 40, he's already experienced what he wants in life and what he doesn't want in life. Now, I know that that's pushing it back. But the point she was making is when you've experienced enough of life to know what you want, when you know what does it for you, and you know that person that you're with is that one that ignites that fire inside of you that's beyond sex or beyond passion. It is that soul fire that she ignites. That's when a man knows he's found the one. Because at the end of the day, it's really when he knows what he wants. Because there's so much to be offered. But if he goes for the body, then when that gets old and he gets tired of playing the body, that's done. But when he gets to the age where he understands that the body's going to fade, that he really needs an intellectual conversation and a woman to make love to his mind, to keep him stimulated mentally, because that's really where it's all at. And so I believe when a man really gets to that age of maturity is when he has pretty much come to the understanding of, this is what I want, this is what I need, and I'm not selling for anything less.
Do you agree with that?
For each individual man.
Do you agree with that, Dr. James?
I do, but I also think that some guys are relationship guys and they're looking for relationships earlier. But then I also think that the situation comes up where the woman is with a guy and, you know, he's kind of in that like status quo, like let's just keep things where they are. And then she's like, you know, well, I'm looking for something more. And so if you're not providing that, then I'm going to have to move on. And he realizes how much like value she's added to him. And also, like, what the connection is between the two of them and the thought of not having her then makes him prompt into the mindset of entertaining, okay, maybe I do want a relationship because I don't want to lose out on what I have. So I think that sometimes just being confronted with the fact that this could end if you're not ready or if that's not something that you're interested in, pushes them into the mindset of thinking about marriage.
That sounds like an ultimatum, though.
Yeah. You know, Harry, can I throw something in on that?
Help yourself.
What Dr. James is saying is true, but here's the issue that I say to our clients. I tell them up front, there's four stages to dating. There's dating, there's courting, there is what you and I say courting means you're not exclusive, then you're engaged, and you're married. The thing that has to happen from the beginning is there has to be an understanding or a conversation of what I'm looking for. If I'm just out here dating and I'm not looking to be courting with you, let's have that conversation. When I met my wife, she told me right at the very first date, Carrie, I'm dating with a purpose, and I'm looking for a purpose partner. Well, what that did for me was say, okay, if I'm going to get into a relationship with her, I at least know what she's looking for. And I think that's what's missing. Dr. James hit it right on the head, but I don't think men do well with ultimatums. I don't do well with ultimatums. I do well with the conversation of expectancy of me. That's what's missing in relationships today is a conversation of what's expected of each other. We just go in assuming that we just, you know, you should be able to have ESP and understand. When the reality is there should be a mature conversation. And I love to say relationships are for mature audiences only. So if you're going to be in one, you got to have those tough conversations.
Speaking of ESP, or is it ESPN? I'm sorry. Dr. James, when does a woman know that she is ready? Often for younger women, they're thinking about, you know, having children. They're looking around at their peers when they're in their, you know, late 20s, late 30s, late 40s?
Well, I'll say black women typically get married much later than other ethnic groups. So I think that the career many times is prioritized because, you know, there's a push for you to be a strong, independent black woman many times, which does include you getting your house and getting everything that you need and all of this stuff. And so I think that some women, when they see their friendship circle starting to get connected with other with men and or to be in just relationships and prioritizing those relationships, I think that opens the door for them to start dating and being in relationships and thinking about marriage. And then the other group of women, which I see, which this part actually is annoying to me for many reasons. So I get women who are like maybe in the 35-ish, 40-ish, 45-ish range, and they've been kind of like pushed into that conversation by the doctor who walks in and says, you know, if are you considering having kids because this is going to be, you know, your last opportunity type of conversation and you're going to be having a geriatric pregnancy. So some women get really stressed about that, and I see them coming in for counseling and talking about interest in relationships because now they've been faced with a decision that makes them think about it.
But Dr. James, we know very well that pregnancy and having children and marriage are not necessarily mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks, they get pregnant, couples get pregnant, and they're in a relationship, situationship, and they're together, kinda. And I don't mean kind of, I mean kinda. But they don't get married. So, you know, what difference does that make? Which brings me back to the original question. Why is it that for some people marriage is not a thing, Dr. James?
You know, I think that for when you're thinking about the whole intentionality behind it, like if I've been focused on my career and doing things to level up in life, and now I'm confronted with that, I might be in a position where I'm actually ready for marriage at that point because I'm in a space where somebody's confronting something with me, or confronting me with something. But I just think that some people they want the fairy tale and everything that comes with it. And of course, there are definitely other people who have been heartbroken a lot of times, and they're like, you know, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole because they don't want to be hurt again.
Mm. So, Carrie, here's something that I've often said, you know, when I've had a chance to talk to sisters and they ask about, you know, men and marriage, and I want your opinion about this. Because I've often said that for a lot of men, they don't see the advantage of marriage. Let us take, you know, a college educated, successful black man, professional, career minded. He has all of the accoutrement, the trappings. He's got a nice car. He's got a nice house. Job security, or he's an entrepreneur and all of these other things, and his girlfriend wants to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes argue that they need to see why marrying her would be advantageous. How would she make his life better than it already is? Whose responsibility is it to prove that to him? Does he have to figure that out for himself? Or is that something that she may be tasked with explaining to him why marrying her would make his life better?
Well, here's the issue. The nature of marriage itself has lost its favor. So that alone, you know, you think about marriage in older times, it was, you know, for stability and security. Whereas today, that is not really the focal point with, you know, the divorce rate being so high, with unwed mothers having children outside of wedlock. So they're looking at, you know. And then if I could be honest, Harold, a lot of them have grown up in homes today of one parent. So there hasn't been that example shown of how two together is better than one. So mm-hmm. there's a whole lot to work through to get him to see the benefit of settling down. You know, when people think about marriage, if you really look at it, it means I'm going to settle down with this one person to be my everything for the rest of my life. That is a big commitment in this day and era with all that social media and the world has to offer versus when the world was smaller in times past. So there's a lot to really, I think we need to go back to the true nature of what marriage is and how it's, you know, ordained by God and the benefits of being in a committed relationship versus, you know, just saying you should do it because it's the right thing to do or that's what everyone's doing. Because the reality is marriage is not on everyone's list anymore. If you do studies show that women are, some of them are checking out of getting married. They're fine with just having a child, but they don't have to get married to have that, as you stated earlier.
What about that, Dr. James, in talking to women, counseling them, are some of them checking out? If so, why? And if there are some who are checking in, why?
I wouldn't necessarily say, it's interesting because as far as the research, it shows that people still do want these loving relationships. And I think that people just don't know how to do it. And the other thing I think it depends on is the people in their circle. So I find that people that are around others who don't believe that relationships are going to be successful or you're going to be cheated on or all these horrible things are going to happen to you, those people, many times they're not as interested. Some of them are, you know, when I talk to them, they may say that they want, at the end of the day, marriage, but they'll say right now they're not necessarily interested, but you ask them what they want in long term, they're like, you know, I want a family and kids. So it's like what they're doing now or what they're saying right now doesn't necessarily align with what they want ultimately in life. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I think those dynamics are kind of interesting.
So, Carrie, let me get into your business a little bit.
Sure.
Because, you know, I brought you on to, you know, this program. You were new because, you know, I discovered Rebecca Lynn Pope's discussions on YouTube. You know, you and I have spoken offline. You know, she's a bad girl.
Yes.
She's a bad girl. You know, spiritual, flat-footed and plain spoken, certainly an attractive, intelligent woman. But why did you marry her? Why did you decide that you wanted to marry her?
Wow, that is a great question. When Rebecca and I first met, we met through a mutual friend, and I was not interested in a relationship with her because she looked like she would hurt me. Mm. And all the things you just named, beautiful, intelligent, you know, very attractive, having a lot of men that are tuning into it because of all of that. So I didn't want to compete with that. I didn't want to even put myself in it coming through a divorce and already hurting. So it was, we started talking and we had so much in common. But what made me finally just say, you know what, I'm going in again. I'm taking my lumps and bruises. Is she spoke to areas of my life that were dead and she brought them back to life.
Mm.
And so I knew then that she was my soulmate, my purpose partner, the one who is able that I could be totally naked with and she'll still see Carrie. And it took me being vulnerable, and that's what a lot of men do not want to do, and especially having been hurt. I tell men, you know, we all have given our heart to one woman at some point in our life that we gave it to and that we'll say never again. Well, when I met Rebecca, I tried that. I tried not to give it. I tried to be, you know, this, I'm taking it slow. I'm not going to give it. But because she kept hitting those areas that were dead and bringing them back to life, it was just, I knew this was God's will for me. And we have been a dynamic duo ever since.
Absolutely.
So that's what it was for me.
I highly recommend anyone who is trying to figure out what they want to do, whether it's marriage or just dating, you know, go to YouTube and check out Life with the Popes. I mean, it is, it's engrossing. No, you know, no shade, Carrie, but you know, Rebecca's got you beat on the information.
Listen, let me say this to Sierra. I bow down to her because I know this is how. But it goes back to what I was saying earlier. As a man, I'm not intimidated because I know that that is what she's called to do.
Right.
I'm more ministry where she's more relationship, but together we build that unit where we bring love and God together. So I'm with you. Hats off to my baby. She's the queen.
But Dr. James, Carrie just said something that was very powerful. He said she looked like she would hurt me. Talk to me about fear as it relates to couples who are moving toward marriage, and how do they address that fear?
I think there's a lot of fear because you are basically allowing somebody to see parts of you that you probably have even hidden from yourself. So, you know, I like to say when you have a best friend, you can go to your house and close the door and they're on the other side of it. We're talking about closing the door and somebody who's right with you through all of the stuff that you're going through. So I think that, you know, it can be really scary to let somebody see you because then what happens? Are they going to reject you? You know, are they still going to want you after they see you, like, show up authentically? So I think that that's a real issue. And the one thing, way to combat that is really focusing on building your own self up. People think that, you know, you think about the other person a lot of times in a relationship, but many times to have a strong relationship, it really does start with you being able to love yourself and basically showing yourself the love that you need so that your partner is also able to do that as well. So really focusing on self-esteem, self-worth, and all of those things are actually the ingredients to help you to have a successful relationship.
Okay, Dr. James, let me get into your business. Why did you say yes?
You know, this is an interesting question because I was listening to Carrie and I feel it's a very similar situation. I wasn't necessarily looking for a relationship. My husband, I find him very attractive. I was like, okay, he's a pretty boy. I ain't fooling with that kind of thing in real life. So,
whatever do you mean?
So I think the major thing that made me say like, oh, this is what I want is because he showed me that I could actually benefit from assistance. So I think that, you know, being the person that I am, I would have considered myself super duper independent, somebody who didn't necessarily trust people, didn't need people to do anything, everything myself. You know, I have a doctor. What do I need a relationship for, right? But he actually showed me all the areas where I was lacking, and he was able to provide assistance in those spaces. So it's like, seeing the benefit of actually having another person, it's like a whole nother set of eyes that can be of assistance. So I think that that really opened the door. And, you know, of course he's attractive.
What did he show you that you were not seeing?
Just that basically two heads are better than one in many different situations. So many opportunities that I could have missed because he's very social. He has the gift of gab, so he's opened a lot of doors that I probably wouldn't have even tapped on myself. I mean, to be honest, it's just in many different areas where he showed me that, you know, I could be of assistance to you. Like, I have anxiety about flying. And for him to sit through my anxiety, which is kind of ridiculous, I'll say my anxiety is high with flying. For him to be able to sit through that with me and me now to be able to fly to many destinations and have no problem, being able to do that with his support is phenomenal.
Mm. Same question for you, Carrie, and I think this is really important for people who are listening to. Metaphorically speaking, it sounds as if Rebecca put some meat on those dry bones, those dead places for you that you probably had ignored. What did she show you that you did not know, specifically, that you did not know needed to be addressed?
It's not so much what I did not know, Harold. It was more of Rebecca empowered me to to know that I was more than enough as being just Carrie. I had suffered years from codependency and being an overachiever and trying, and when codependency, that had me going beyond the call of duty and getting hurt because I was trying to prove my worth versus Rebecca says, Carrie, you don't realize how great you are. She said, the greatness that you carry just in who you are. And her words that brought life to me were, you are more than enough. Because it allowed me to take that deep breath and go, you know what? Flaws and all, I am more than enough. And so she spoke to my pain, and she spoke to it in a way that no one had ever spoken to before. And she freed me from the guilt and the shame of what I have lived in life and the mistakes I have made. And so, you know, and I tell this to a lot of men, if you find that woman, and I say this to women, women, if you give that man a safe place to lay his head, he'll come there every day. But if you cut his hair off and take his strength, meaning you use his weaknesses against him, he'll never come back. Mm. You have to be able to allow that man to be able to lay his head in your lap and open up his heart and tell you his struggles. Because if he doesn't tell it to you, he's going to eventually tell it to someone else. And so that's one of the things Rebecca had allowed me to be able to do is just to be Carrie. And that alone was priceless.
Mm. Both of you are in the counseling business. Dr. James, how should a couple that is considering marriage approach premarital counseling? And what should they expect to get out of it?
Well, I think they should approach it as being open and as a space for them to enhance the relationship. So don't walk in there thinking that, okay, let me put up my guards because, you know, this is a scary place. Many times premarital counseling really just helps you to be able to talk about things that you typically wouldn't talk about or bring up. It may be related to finances. So some of the things that will be addressed, not just like how much money are you making, but how do you spend money? You know, understanding somebody's patterns and understanding somebody's past history as far as like their upbringing. Like, did they talk about things growing up or did they not talk about things growing up? And what are the concerns? If there are concerns with being able to voice certain things, whether that's with intimacy or just like everyday conversation. So I think that walking into premarital counseling, just be open and be ready to talk about some of the things that maybe you hadn't even thought about. And being open and honest about that up front helps you to build a stronger foundation for your relationship that can actually last. Because now we actually know who we're marrying and we get them a lot more or a lot better, which, you know, can help you to thrive.
So, Carrie, how would you advise men in the realm of premarital counseling when the fiance, the woman, wants to do it and he does not? Because men more traditionally are resistant to that kind of discussion.
You know, being in ministry 36 years, Harold, a lot of people will ask me to do their ceremonies for them. And one of my things that I say is I never marry anyone without premarital counsel. So that automatically lets the man know that if you know, you got to do it, and I express why. I also share it when we do have it, believe it or not, many of them are surprised at what questions are asked, because I deal with, you know, really four main areas. I deal with communication, because that's the biggest reason of divorce. I deal with sex, because there needs to be an understanding of what's really expected of you in marriage, because a lot of people are trying to do the Christian way and refrain from sex, but they think that when they say I do, all of a sudden this magical light's going to come on, there's going to be, you know, rabbits in the bed, and that's usually not the fact. So we talk about that. We talk about blended families, because you got the baby mama drama that comes into relationships. And then we talk about finances as far as who is good at spending money and budgeting and all of that. And so when I go that route, men are really, really grateful to get into the counseling session, because it gives them the opportunity to stress the things to her that he's never been able to say openly to her. So I'm kind of serving as a mediator in those cases. And believe it or not, the men welcome the premarital counseling more than the women in my case.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is certainly something that's, you know, good to hear. Everybody needs a little help from beginning to end. You know, I want to thank, you know, Dr. Kia James and, you know, Carrie Pope for talking to us. I tell you, Black Marriage Week, hopefully it turns into Black Marriage Years, Dr. James.
Yes.
You know, hopefully folks can live happily ever after, you know, one day at a time. Thank you both so much for the conversation. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, March 18th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall